Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is the artist Ren, whose album Shapes is out now via Ani DeFranco's Righteous Babe label. In this conversation, we discuss the origins of the record, the grind of playing multiple sets in wine bars night after night, and how several changes in Ren's personal life seem to forecast their artistic success. That's Ren on Into Music, coming up now. So this actually kind of had like a, from where it started till now, it's a little bit of a journey. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
This record actually started in 2021. So it's been a couple few years. And I reached out to Bella Blasco, who I knew from a few years back, and we had planned to do a record at some point. And then she got hired to do to be the engineer for the National and was like, sorry, have to delay it. You know, I was like, totally understandable. You know, it's so great seeing people, you know, and musicians just kind of get those breaks and very worthy of getting those breaks. And so I've been, you know, we've been keeping in touch, following each other's careers and whatnot. And 2021, the summer of 2021, still most people weren't touring. You know, we were just getting the vaccine for COVID. And I just had an inkling and I reached out to Bella and was like, hey, would you be interested in helping me record some new songs? And she was like, yeah, this is the perfect timing. Let's do it. So originally, I just recorded it in Los Olivos, which is a small area in California, in this like little shack with my friend Gray Bear Erickson, who engineered it. Anyway, so it was just me and a guitar. That's how it first started, and mostly playing live because it's hard to capture that live feeling without doing it. And I always felt like I was less of a recording artist, more of a performer. You know, I love feeling that energy exchange in a room. It's always, you know, that's my drug of choice. But so yeah, it started there. And then Bella and I just kind of went back and forth distance, like a long distance relationship of listening to what we wanted to hear on those tracks. We're surprisingly very much on the same wavelength. It's like, hey, actually, do you hear horns on this? And yeah, I do. And I know the perfect person. So yeah, I loved Bella's work. I had listened to an album that she had produced before because she engineers mostly. And I just loved her touch. It was subtle, but so poignant. I just always wanted to work with her. So it was such a blessing to be able to do that. And she works with great people. So I got to have Mike Lewis play bass and sax, and he plays with Bon Iver. And then JT Bates on drums, who does everything and plays with so many people, like Big Red Machine. And so like me here, like I was saying, like, yeah, I'm playing in a wine bar next weekend, you know, and getting to just have these wonderful people on my record has been incredible. And so that has all taken, like, that was like, oh, a track here, a track there, getting all of that kind of figured out and then mixed and then ready for mastering just last year. It's been a journey for sure. For sure. And then as far as like releasing it, Bella connected me with Righteous Babe Records, and they were down to have me be a part of their label, which is incredible. And I can get into how I feel about that later. But, and now I'm freaking opening up for Ani DeFranco. So it's an amazing, it has been a journey for sure. You know, starting in a little recording shack to being able to share it with so many more people now.
So did you have an inkling when you went in with this material that you felt that it was something special, or was this just like, here's another group of songs, we'll see what happens?
Before that, I mean, I wrote a lot of them in 2020 and some of them in 2021. And of course, it's like a very powerful time for everybody and like such huge shifts. And it was also, for me personally, a time where I was doing a lot of introspective work, like mental health wise. Like, I have CPTSD and I had been living with it for years and not really found the right people to work with or really like committed to that journey of kind of sifting through my trauma and separating myself from it. And as I started to do that, I started to just discover more about myself. And I mean, my first form of therapy has always been music and a way to process things. And that's what most of these songs came from, is this, it's such a, so it meant a lot to me on a personal level. And yeah, they just felt different. I think, you know, as an artist, my values as an artist values is it's about being as honest and truthful as possible, you know, and like sharing that vulnerability. That's the music I like to hear. And that just feels like a purpose that I have, is to be able to connect with people on that level. And there was something, yeah, this group of songs was definitely different than what I had been working on before. I just kept digging deeper. And it was interesting, like when I decided, I was like, I want these out in the world, because I've definitely like recorded with people and then somehow not gotten the masters and then been like, nah, or like worked with people and it was like, well, it's not quite what I was going for. Or I didn't have a strong sense of self. And like these songs were the like embodiment of a stronger sense of self and a stronger sense of vision. And so like the two choices I was going with was either I'm gonna just do this on a four track by myself and get really weird about it, or I'm gonna call Bello Blasco and do something great. And that's the road I took. And I'm really, really glad I did.
So it sounds like beginning this process maybe of exploring some of the trauma and the roots of that, and then some sort of path toward recovery. This was also enlightening maybe in a way, because I think sometimes we go through that and
Really.
then you start kind of seeing your worth, you know? Is that what's going on?
Absolutely. Starting to see my worth is a great way of putting it. And just like truly starting to see myself. Like I was so disconnected from myself. Like my therapist, who I still work with, my trauma therapist, who's such a nerd about all this kind of stuff and the cool modalities. I love it. But you know, she's telling me just recently, it's one of the things I had the hardest time with was like closing my eyes and seeing who I was. Like it was just like an outline. It was like barely a little outline. And that just, the outline keeps getting stronger. It's like a Sharpie now. And I'm like coloring it in. Yeah, I think with that, self-worth comes and trust in myself.
It's interesting because I've talked to people who, you know, sometimes it's they quit drinking, or they, you know, started the recovery process of, you know, leaving narcotics behind or something. It almost sounds fairy tale-esque in a sense, right? But all of a sudden, it's like these doors begin to open that weren't there before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, I mean, that's a great comparison. I think there's, it is magical. Like sometimes I go into a session and I come out and I felt something move within me. Like truly, it feels like fairy tale-esque or some sort of magic. Yeah, it's been life, truly life-changing for me. And I can't, yeah, I can't say, I'm like speechless, but also can't say enough about it, you know.
I wonder if in this process, you know, you had wound up, you know, putting this out as like a, you know, four track recording or something, because people said no and doors didn't open and so forth. Would you feel as fulfilled, do you think?
I definitely wouldn't have the opportunities that I've had or been able to. I'm not trying to roll my eyes at the word manifestation, but like I've always wanted to find an artist I aligned with and open for them in a way. And like, you know, an artist that like would bring their fan base to me and we could connect in that way and it would feel, yeah, aligned. And I've all I've wanted that for a long time. It's something, it's like, that's the thing I want. Like, that's the thing I want. And so it getting there, I don't think would have happened if, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm like destiny and stuff. I have a hard time imagining, but you know, some of my favorite records, oh my God, I forget her name, Caroline something, but she just recorded stuff on Bandcamp and put it out on, or sorry, recorded stuff on GarageBand, put it out on Bandcamp. And it's incredible. You know, it's like the music itself is just as good, you know, in a way, but it's not held in the same way. And I think the idea of maybe doing a four track on my own was just having the control over it, like having my autonomy. And I felt like I did not lose any autonomy in this process. It was a growing process. It was like blooming and like being in really safe hands with Bella, and that now with Righteous Babe, who like as a label, they are artist focused. It's like a community, and they just want, they don't want you to ever compromise your vision, and are just there to support, which is incredible. So I don't know what that other universe would be. I think I would still be proud of myself, but I don't think I'd be here.
Was there ever a point where it was like, this gigging stuff, it's nice, maybe I come home with a few dollars, but this is soul draining.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I went through phases of my life where it's like, you know, this is a skill that I have, I can use, and like I can support my family just like serving at a restaurant, you know, just like now I'm, you know, also like build websites on the side, just like being able to use the things and the tools that I have. But it was hard at times to do that. And I ended up not playing a lot of my own music. You know, I would end up doing covers and things like that because I don't need to be vulnerable in front of people who aren't paying attention or who are hassling me. But I have made a lot of grown men cry in bars for sure. You know, you play Hallelujah the right way, you play Jolene the right way. It happens. I'm still moving someone sometimes. But yeah, I definitely, it's a completely different, like that feels like craft in a way and not so much art necessarily. For me, it's totally different for other musicians. I am also an introvert. Like I don't particularly like the like I'm 2 seconds away from you and we can have a conversation in between songs. Like I love meeting people afterwards and hearing about their experience, but it's just a different feeling. So yeah, it was very draining at times. I would come home just like wrecked.
That's the struggle, right? Having this thing that you love so much and you can do it and people can enjoy it. But then, yeah, those moments where it's just like, oh, again?
Yeah, it becomes monotonous. But I will say, like, during those times, like, the muscle memory I had, I could still use for my own, where I mean, my vocals were warmed up. I was playing all the time. My hands were all stretched. I had routines. And so I think there is something about, quote unquote, the grind that really gives you a certain toughness, you know, like once you've been heckled so many times, it's like, I got it. You know?
And then there are those times, right, where it's like you're at the 499th time of it being like rote, and then something just happens and it's like it can be new again, right? It can be
Yeah,
revived.
totally. And I think some of it's just perspective shifting. I'm trying to remember this moment. I was thinking about like my voice changing at some point in my life, and I was like, wow, I really want to use my voice now how it is and sing it to its fullest and really enjoy that while I'm playing this like 4 hour thing. You know, like sometimes it's just like a perspective shift for sure. And you can find new things. And you know, I've met like wonderful people that way and have had very, you know, positive feedback. So it's not, it's yeah, it's it depends. It just depends on the day. And I've stopped doing that not only because like, wow, I get to do so many cool art things and it takes up a lot of my time, you know, but also I have had a new disability come into my life, and I can't be doing those 4-hour gigs and driving for another 2 hours there and back. Like, it's physically demanding. Like, not that this tour won't be, but it's different, you know. So I'm not really driving anymore. I get to be on the bus, which is pretty cool for this tour. Yeah, so we all have different phases of our lives and the different capacity that we have. And I think I'm really learning to just kind of let go as much as possible and take all the good I can. You know, everything kind of sometimes like the really stressful, difficult things come right alongside with the really beautiful, exciting things. And I think that's just part of me getting older, growing up, learning more, becoming more wise, is that there's never, it's always all at once all the time.
Yeah, for sure. So to come back to the record, I was curious about this listening to it. Like, was it always guitar and singing, or was there a time where one was more dominant? Like, did you have a period where you're like, I just want to play guitar and that's it?
Not in a live setting or anything, just like in my room, you know, just like in a corner being like, oh, I want to, like, this is what feels good to me right now. But I've been playing since I was, I don't know, like 12, and immediately started writing songs and immediately went to open mics. So, like, again, I'm real good with hecklers. You know, a 13-year-old out there playing their own songs and people having feelings about it is interesting. Anyway, so there are times in my life where, like, I've like even wanted to focus on, like, you know, I took like a classical guitar class in college, you know, and just kind of gone in and out. But it's mostly been all together, you know. It's like I'm singing, I'm playing, I'm writing. It's all kind of smooshed in. I would love to experiment sometime and like just play guitar in someone's album, you know, just like do some weird synth shit. And like, I would love to do soundtrack work, you know. I love, there's more out there for me.
So I mean, I have to ask. Okay, 13, going to open mics, which can be, I know this isn't a phrase, but it's just coming out of my mouth, a shark's nest.
Absolutely, it can. And especially just like middle-aged dudes that really want to like jam and like grip at the time, like getting upset with a 13-year-old, you know, person is just a little wild. And so that's what I mean. It's like I was in a shark's nest and I'm just like, well, I want to do this. It's always been something I've wanted to do, and I had to just not care what other people thought and listen to myself. And I'm continuing to try to do that in both my artistic life and personally. So building that intuition up again and self-worth. Absolutely, it can. And especially just like middle-aged dudes that really want to like jam and like grip at the time, like getting upset with a 13-year-old, you know, person is just a little wild. And so that's what I mean. It's like I was in a shark's nest and I'm just like, well, I want to do this. It's always been something I've wanted to do, and I had to just not care what other people thought and listen to myself. And I'm continuing to try to do that in both my artistic life and personally. So building that intuition up again and self-worth.
You've been listening to a conversation with singer-songwriter Wren. Wren's new album, Shapes, is out now. You can learn more about them via their official website, wren.com. That's WRYN. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us questions and comments at info@kmuw.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.